We'll go ahead and get started for the sake of time. Tonight, we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 3 in the 12th chapter of Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now pay attention to this right here. That you present your bodies a living, say living, sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We're going to come back to verse 1 in just a minute. I'm excited about the new interpretation that God has given me about this scripture. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be, say that word with me, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Let's go back into verse 1. And let's bring this into a deeper depth. Even for me, it was something that I hadn't seen the way that I saw it this time around. So we're reading about a message that was sent to the Romans. But I find that this was trying to help bring the church to a place of stability. Because in that time, they had a lot of up and down. Depending on who was in, it wasn't welcome to do. Depending on who was in power, they began to be afraid of what was around them. And I'm here to tell you tonight, for those of us that are going through things, for those of us that don't see the end just yet, here's what God told me to tell you. The best thing that you can do in a storm is to continue and be stable or be established. Because the winds may blow, but God doesn't change. People may leave us, but God does not forsake us. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the devil will bring the wind. He'll bring the rain. He'll bring the storms. He'll bring destruction. But the one thing that you stand on while all seems to be going wrong is the foundation that you know that God is with you. And if God is with you, then who can be against you? Let's read a couple of these phrases tonight. I want to bring emphasis to the phrase that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The word that God put in my spirit this afternoon, I heard it as clear as an audible voice. And I want you to say that word with me now is proactive. Say it with a little meaning tonight. There you are. I know we've had a long day, but you can sleep tomorrow. God's going to take care of you then. I'm just as tired and ill as you are, but I'm here tonight because I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to be committed, and that's what we've got to do in these last days is be committed, right? So I read the phrase, present your bodies a living sacrifice, and I begin to extract out of that the word proactive. When I hear the word proactive, it's the kind of person that gets things done. If you are proactive, you're the kind of person that makes things happen instead of waiting for them to come your way. Active means doing something. The prefix, the word before active, the word pro means before. So I'm here to tell us tonight, when we read the phrase, present your bodies a living sacrifice, I want to bring that out to you in another way. That means when you come to God, He wants you to be proactive. Sometimes I know that we want to wait for the perfect moment to arise where we're able to get up and share our little tidbit. But that doesn't mean that while you're waiting for that moment that you still can't be proactive in something. There is something that God has for all of us to do. If you have the ability to speak in His house, I want you to say yes right now. If you have a voice, you can praise Him. Somebody look over at your neighbor and say, if you have a voice, you can praise Him. If you have a voice in the house of God, you can praise Him. That doesn't mean you have to be the loudest one in the house. That just means you've got to use what God has given you to use. I come in tonight not expecting for people to say, "Wow, how was Jared praising God tonight? He was on fire." I'm here to tell you, my voice isn't ringing out to please other people. I have a reason to be thankful. I have a God who has taken care of me. And for that, we have to give Him honor, because it's our responsibility as Christians to properly represent His glory. When I hear about the word proactive, that's telling me that I need to stop being a reactive Christian. When I'm a reactive Christian, I do nothing until something happens, and then I react the best that I can. But God doesn't want us just to be a reactive Christian. He doesn't want you to wait until something goes wrong before you start out to do something. He don't want you to wait till you're in the middle of trouble before you begin to praise Him. He don't want you to wait to pray until you get in a situation where you'll say, "Oh God, I prayed this a long time in my rookie years as a Christian. Oh Lord, if you'll get me out of this, I'll lay this down for you. Oh Lord, if you'll get me out of this one, I'll give all my money I've got into the offering plate. Oh Lord, if you'll get me out of this one, I'll preach your word." How many of you ever made that false promise before? We're all guilty at some point because we have waited too long until the moment has arose and we are not prepared to face the enemy that is out there. There are people that are lost and dying. There are people that are addicted to things that are coming in the house of God, and they do not need a reactive Christian. They need a proactive Christian. They don't need somebody that's only going to react when they hear of their wrongdoings. We need to be proactive going to them instead of waiting for them to come our way. When I was growing up as a 15-year-old kid, we grew up under a pastor who I would have to say was the world's best at giving an altar call. He had altar calls that were sometimes twice as long as his sermon. He was not going anywhere until somebody came. And there was a night, I'm just sharing this for fun, there was a night that he said that he felt like that somebody was called to preach. Nobody moved. 10 minutes goes by. Whoever was singing had sang the second verse probably 20 times by then. By that point, I began to think, well, maybe I'm called to preach. I don't know. And when that night was over, I talked to some of my friends, and apparently every single one of us in that place that night thought that we were called to preach. Now, I'm knowing good and well that maybe that call was truly for me and I just didn't know it yet. But I'm here to tell you tonight that you can't just stand around and wait to react to when somebody's going to come. There's got to be something more in you that presents something that is, say that word with me, living. If you're living, you're moving. If you're living, you're breathing. If you're living, you're showing signs of life. Now, if we come in here and we don't want to praise Him, we want to be passive, we want to wait until it is so strong in here that we can't hardly contain it, but that is not when you're supposed to sit there and wait, because when you begin to feel God, that means He's about to use you for something. Look over at your neighbor and tell him that. When you feel God, He's about to use you for something. Because I'm about to separate feeling from obedience, because they are not necessarily always together. Because there's been some times I've been sick and tired of being sick and tired, but Brother Matt, I come in and praised Him anyway. Oh my Lord and my God, I'm not going to wait until trouble knocks at my doorstep before I'm able to praise Him, because I know that when it comes time for it, He's going to have me ready in the times that I prepare and make the way. You might think that being on the mountain is just to say, look at where I am and look how good I have it, but friend, He's wanting you to be proactive. Moving, taking action before something would come. We got to stop being reactive. You got to stop waiting for some preacher to get you excited, because I'm here to tell you, every day I'm getting older and less able to be excited dancing around and jumping. But I'm here to tell you that that's not going to change how excited I am for the God that I serve. And I know we may be discouraged tonight. I know we may be downtrodden and cast. I know that we may feel like that nobody is understanding our hurt and our pain. But all the Lord would have us to do is come in and just show proof that we are alive. Just to show something that we have something inside of us. He's not going to have somebody that's mourning to have to go and run 20 laps around the church. He's not going to have somebody heartbroken to have to get up and preach his word. But people that are around them are supposed to be the ones that begin to show that Jesus is alive. I'm going to preach to the choir right now. If you can't get up there and sing and worship God and show some life in you, then you need to pray that God will give you the boldness to. Because we don't need to be a choir that stands in front of people that doesn't know that Jesus is alive and we're making strides going in the right way. But we've got to remind ourselves of what we're showing people. Is it just going through a song? Is it just going through the lyrics? It's got to be so much more than that. I could keep going on that, but I've got more for you. Say this word with me, sacrifice. A sacrifice is an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. So let's put this together. By the mercies of God, He would have you to come in and be proactive, and not only that, willing to suffer. You mean, brother? Oh, you must not think I'm human. Do you think that it's easy when I get up some nights and nobody's into it and you can see people doing the stare to the door in hopes that when they get up to go that I'm not going to notice? You think that I'm the kind of person that doesn't notice when people aren't paying attention or that they're having their own private discussion over on the side of the pew? You think I'm the kind of guy that has the ability to look over that? I'm here to tell you, I have eyes like you do. I see things just like you do. And it's hard as a human being to go home at the end of the day and keep yourself encouraged when you see that kind of stuff. And when somebody's trying to sing and they pour their heart out and we as Christians can't even honor the song in worship, I'm here to tell you, we're becoming reactionary instead of proactive, because we should be able to be up on our feet every single time that a song is sung under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When somebody's preaching the word, we should be able to give certainly at least a half hour of time of attention to grasp what God is really trying to tell us. Because unless we're going to be willing to lay off some things for something we regard as more important, then when it happens, we're caught off guard. Presenting ourselves willing to be active and willing to suffer. So I said all that in the beginning to say that there is persecution in obedience. There is persecution in obedience. There are people that will ignore what you say. There will be people that blow off what you're talking about. But that does not mean that for the one that's listening, that it's still important. I'm here to tell you that sometimes, if I just saw the tears in one person's eyes, then I knew that every word that I said was worth every minute of it. I'm here to tell you, there's been times that I've sung my heart out and felt my heart break because I was thinking, what is wrong, God? Have you ever asked that before when you're trying to do something? You're just thinking to yourself, what is wrong, God? But then you see just one begin to rise up and praise Him. And I'm here to tell you, that's why the scripture said where two or three would come together and agree that He would be in the midst. So if I can find two or three people in the house of God that'll be willing to come together, we may not be able to put your demons to flight. You might want to keep them, but I'm going to tell you right now, for those that'll try, they're going to see those things be underneath their feet and not something they have to suffer with when they go out of here. Let's read in the second verse this phrase: be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. To renew means to reestablish or repeat. I'm going to harp on the word repeat for a minute, because I know that we're not in a great state of memory loss, because obviously we remember where the church is located, right? We know who the pastor is, right? We generally know who to expect to come up and sing for us, right? We have a Bible, so you generally know what you're going to hear out of it, right? Some of us have been to church 10, 20 years. Maybe some of you are brand new to this thing. But there's been some of us that have been to church 20 years. And we have went through it so much that it hardly means anything like it used to. And you can go to places where it means so little that we're able to write out exactly what we're going to do. And we're going to do it exactly in this amount of time. Now, I'm here to tell you, when you have a church of 100,000 people, you'll have a program. But for places like this, the saving stations, the place where you find real problems, real issues, we've got to learn that it's so much more than a program. It's so much more than a script. I'm here to tell you that sometimes we might only want three songs, but I'm here to preach to you right now that that fourth song may be the one that breaks it loose. Now, I'm also here to tell you we don't have to sing 20 songs to get to where we really need to get either. But as we grow together, we understand what is the perfect will of God. But unless we're being proactive, we're just being reactive. Well, someone sings a song. Well, it didn't seem to be very fruitful, so we sing another song. It's not very fruitful, so we try to do another one. And we end up being reactive instead of being proactive. Listen, I'm not going to belittle all of our gifts and talents because they're amazing. We have one of the most amazing places of singers and musicians and talent, and I'm here to give God praise for that and honor that. But I'm here to tell you that if God can raise the dead and heal blinded eyes, He doesn't need your song to make a difference. He doesn't need me to say a word if He really wanted to reach out to you. So when we're here, it is an opportunity to be proactive. If it has become just an obligation to be here, then we're lost our first love. We've lost the passion of why we're even sitting here. I'm here to tell you that I gut check myself on a daily basis. If I listen to praise and worship and there's something within me that cannot receive, then I pray immediately. If I'm listening to preaching and I begin to be not submissive to what the guy is saying, then I pray immediately. The reason you have to renew your mind is that that's where the most trouble is. Whether it be something someone actually has said or done, or where I feel like the enemy really harps on, the things that we only perceive has happened. When I was a young man, I perceived that nobody cared about me. And I tried to take my life twice. God spared me both times. And I believe He spared me for this reason, that I would be able to minister to somebody else that's hurting in that way, and to tell you that you are not alone. If you've been brought through something, it's to help somebody else. But I'm here to tell you, when I come in, I know good and well I'm not sitting in the midst of unblessed people. Oh, I'm about to start preaching. You better get ready. I'm not sitting in the midst of an unblessed church. God has been good to you. And I'm not going to keep coming in here and trying to get you excited about praising God. Because if you can't already see what He's already done, then you're blind to the truth. The truth will make you free. And if you know He saved your soul, that's a reason to stand and be proactive and say, God, I thank you. I may not have what I want, but God, I thank you. I may not see my children where I want to be yet, but God, I thank you. Lord, I don't see my church where I want it yet, but God, I thank you. Lord, I don't have my finances where I want to be yet, but God, I thank you. Lord, I don't know if my body's going to hold through the storm, but God, I'm going to praise you. Lord, I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but while I'm here, I'm going to pray, my God. I'm not standing in the midst of people that have never been rejected. We all face rejection every day of our life. I have people, I walk by, say hello. They don't even look. They just keep on going. Too good for my hello. I've had people I try to talk to, and they're so busy texting and walking, they literally bump into you on their way through. Oh, sorry, my bad. I'm not sitting in the midst of an unrejected church. Who's ever felt like they've been rejected before? Show everybody. You ever felt like that? I'm not sitting in the midst of an unpersecuted people. We have all been under the vexation of Satan. We have all been under the oppression of Satan. And maybe some things have caused us to even feel possessed or have something in us that we just cannot get rid of on our own. I'm not sitting in the midst of people that have not been through that before. What are you getting at, brother? I'm here to tell you that if you hurt, I hurt. But if I can still come in and praise Him, what I'm telling you, as a Christian to a Christian, not somebody that thinks he's better, for my best is his filthy rags. But I'm here to tell you, I'm telling you what the Word of God says. He said that I would beseech you by the mercy you've been shown. My God, we don't even deserve to be here. But by His mercy, we're able to be here. Man, He said that I would have you by the mercy I've shown you to come in and be proactive and be willing to suffer. Jesus didn't wait forever to fulfill His plan. When it came for Him, rather than running, rather than forming a militia to defend His honor, think about it. There were people that surrounded King David, even in his wrongdoings, that would fight with him to the death. Now, if Jesus was the Son of God and they beheld such miracles, you would have thought there'd been no way they had got through the crowd to get to where He was. But rather than running from His plan, He was proactive to the plan. He saw that God's will was coming to pass, and He submitted to His will. Let me tell you something. That which you do every day of your life is a part of what we call your character. Part of my character is you'll catch me with a snack every now and then. You'll catch me staying up too late every now and then. If you know me at all, you know that I work so hard that I can't even stand it. I devote my life to what I do. But if you also know me and have been in fellowship with me, I hope and pray that you know who lives in me. It is a part of my character. When people get to know you, you know what they need to get to know also? God in you. And the only way they can see God in you is if you show that He's in you. If I never shared I was delivered from drug addiction, what good would it do for people that were addicted to drugs? What good would it do? If we as saved Christians never share the gospel of giving people hope for salvation, what good does it do to have salvation at all? If we have the gifts and callings to sing and to worship and to praise, yet we never do it, what good does it do to have it? Here's the deal. We're not willing to sacrifice. We want some people to sacrifice. I know that if me and Doris decided we were going to take a 3-month vacay, then when you all come in and wanted to worship, you'd wonder, well, what are we going to do? If Brother Gary decided to go along with us, how are we going to unlock the door? There's got to be something more inside of you that is not dependent on people, but dependent on what you have been blessed to possess.